Warning, the following broadcast contains adult language, adult content, frank safety discussions, and stories that might sound unbelievable. But believe me, every one of those stories is true. We didn't start the safety war, but we are going to fight to win it. For our families, for our communities, for our workplaces, and for our lives.
Oh yeah, here we are. One of our famous, or infamous, hour twos. Look at hour one up there real shortly. How's everybody doing out there? We are Safety Wars Live for Tuesday, May 13, 2025, hour two. You know what that means. It means politics. Some other stuff. We're going to repeat some of the stories from hour one. For those folks who missed it, might have missed it. So I am your host. So where have I been? I've been doing these political things. Been working hard on some projects out here. We'll just say Jay Allen isn't the only person writing a book out there. But anyway, we're. Now, so there's a whole bunch of stuff going on out there. I mean, what is the deal with all of these politicians and judges out there? Now, we know that, you know, you're a politician, especially from New Jersey. You know you're going to be breaking some laws, right? Good chance. The other one is Wisconsin, right? One of the reasons why we enforce laws in this country is that when you don't enforce laws, people get emboldened. Well, Jim, what do you mean, Jim? People get emboldened. Real simple. Several years ago, and I'm going to take you back into some recent history. I mean, this whole thing with January 6, 2021, with the Capitol getting stormed, that wasn't the first time that that happened, folks. No. No. This has been going on from time immemorial at different points in history. So we had, for example, activists in the 1980s going into congressional offices and barricading themselves in. That happened. You had people all through the 90s, there were a couple of cases where people wanted to do bad things after the Capitol. They got pardons. They got away with it. Then you had fast forward up to the 2020 with all the riots out there. That was okay. Very few people were held responsible. So what did you think was going to happen in 2021? On January 6th. Now, that's still being litigated, I think, so a lot of those things. Now, everyone here, if you've been a listener or a viewer for a long time, I think everybody here knows my opinion on this. And that is, if you want to protest, do it legally. Get the proper permits. Get the proper, do the right thing. Don't leave a mess behind. Be nonviolent. Right? Protests are one thing. Politicians often don't listen to protests. What do they listen to? People who vote, because they realize that the protests, a lot of those people don't vote. However, if you go on and you make an appointment with your elected official, your congressman, your senator, whatever you happens to be, right, local dog catcher, and you talk to people, you come to an understanding. Maybe you're much better off with that than violence and everything else. So here we have a situation here that happened over the weekend, right? So this is from Essex County edition of NJ.com. Did Democrats really storm ICE facility and body slam guards? Here's what the video shows. There are differing accounts of what transpired just before Newark Mayor Roz Baraka's arrest by federal agents Friday afternoon during a confrontation at Delaney Hall that included three members of Congress. Baraka, who is a Democrat primary candidate for New Jersey governor, was arrested by ICE agents outside The gates of the detention center operated by a private company, the GEO group. It came after repeated delays, days of city officials in Morocco attempting to serve the group with violation notices for not cooperating with local code inspectors. Right? And there's going to be an investigation and everything else. They've accused the group, which was contracted by ICE, of operating the Thousand Vet Center in violation of city codes by refusing to grant access and failure to have an evacuation plan in place. Baraka came back later in the day as Democrat U.S. Representative Bob Menendez. So Bob Menendez is blah, blah, blah. Here you go. Let's get this right. Bob Menendez, right, convicted felon, right? I guess. Rob Menendez, hold on. Is this the same person as the senator? Hold on. Gotta look this up. No, Robert Menendez is not the convicted senator here. His father is Bob Menendez. This is Robert Menendez. My mistake. Oh, well. You know, but you know, your father is in enough trouble. Why would you want to be in more trouble? I don't get it. All right. Again, a stunt. A New Jersey advanced media reported on scene said security fires allowed the mayor and the city's lawyer to go beyond the gates, going on and on and on. Again, what are you looking to prove with this? Right? Rile up your base? Really? I don't know. Again, do Congress have a right to oversight and everything? Yeah, absolutely. They probably have more of a right to oversight than that, but it's sort of like a double-edged sword. You arrest a congressperson, you could get into a little bit of trouble, especially if they're on their way to a vote or something like that. That could be argued, right? Had they detained Representative Menendez, what, right? You're preventing him to go to a vote in Congress. I don't know if Congress is even in session at this point. What are you looking to gain by this? Are you, right? Political points to get a re-election? I really don't get it. The other thing is this. Now, if nothing happened, now here's the double-edged sword. Rob Menendez goes and doesn't get convicted of doing something wrong after the investigation. That emboldens everybody else to go and do something. Because they're not going to get arrested. That's what the idea is. And, of course, when you're dealing with all these protesters at Columbia, one of the recent ones, 80 people, I think, were arrested last week, the week before. Pro-Palestinian protests inside the laboratory, the library during finals week. Right, 80 people not affiliated with the university, like 120 people were there. They're shocked that they get arrested. I tell you what, it's not the people who I can almost guarantee this. I can't prove it. But my experience in observing and being involved in stuff like this is always the ringleaders that get away scot-free. Foot soldiers do not get away scot-free. Hasn't that been like the history with all these protests recently over the last 2 or 3 years? Nobody gets away. So now, you're a young person, 22, 23 years old, maybe younger. You're involved in these protests. You're a disaffected youth. You get involved in these protests. You get arrested. That's a mark against you for the rest of your life. Is that really worth it? While the people who are out there leading these things, what are they doing? They're going out, doing whatever. Living la vida loco, as we used to say back in the 90s here, right? With it. Living the life. All right. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, be smarter, people. Be smarter. Make better choices. Work for change. You want to protest? Go have a nonviolent protest. Don't break any laws and everything. When you start to get violent, that's when you turn a lot of people off. All right. And all right. Now, there has been, and the computer is not working here. Okay, hopefully I'm still broadcasting. So there's been a move by some people to get a third political party. So you have an election, right? And they feel that they need to get a third political party involved here, or a third person in a race. Now, full disclosure, I ran as independent in 2009 New Jersey Assembly 19th District. Had I won, chances are you wouldn't have had the Speaker of the House of Representatives that you have in New Jersey now, Craig Coughlin. So, you know, your loss. Now, third party runs, right? So there's stories out there that, you know, people want to go third party there. And now, by the way, now is the right time to do it because we have off-year elections coming up from most places is when you start doing it. And then when the petitions start coming out to get onto ballot, which we discussed last week in September 2023 and subsequently with the 2024 election, what do you end up, you know, what ends up happening here? All right. So now's the time that you want to go and start looking for your candidates. Now, there's a problem here, and we're going to relive recent history here with right? So 34 years ago, roughly, there was a man who went to the White House, and he was having dinner with then-President Bush in 1991, right, the first President Bush. And he had gotten into a little bit of a heated discussion with him, and President Bush pissed him off. Basically, this man was a billionaire. Yes, I'm talking about Ross Perot. And he went and he ran against, ran for president. And it basically, he's been called the spoiler or whatever. I want to call him the spoiler. Not the spoiler to me. Right after, after that. So what ended up happening was Bill Clinton got 43% of the vote. 43% of the vote. George Bush got 37% of the vote. And the rest, Ross Perot got under the banner of, eventually, of the Reform Party. And the same thing happened in 1996 when Bob Dole ran for president. Right, you got that 37% of Republicans that automatically vote Republican, and it's roughly about 43% Democrat. And they haven't really... I mean, 2024, I'm sure things have changed, and now things have been recalibrated. But basically, this stuff has not moved. The needle has not moved on any of this stuff politically. Now, you're going to say, okay, Jim, you know, Kazim, move politically. And both political parties got into such a... fear, for lack of a better word, fear that now the computer is coming up here. Yeah, so they got into such a state of fear that what they ended up doing was rewriting the laws to make it more difficult to get on the ballot. Right, so for example, to get on the ballot, quick review what they didn't tell you in civics. You need to collect petition signatures. You need to file them with the state that you're living in or the jurisdiction you're living in. And they go and then you get on the ballot. Now, oftentimes, right, what do we have is to get into the Democratic or Republican primaries, you get on the, right, you have an early filing date, then they have the primary, and then they go and you decide on who the nominee is. Then, with the independents, at least in New Jersey, and every state is different, the state of New Jersey primary day, which is, I believe, the second Tuesday or the first Tuesday in June. That's when the ballots are due. You got to check. Got to check this for the independents. Now, some of the states have onerous requirements for an independent. So the Republican and Democrat, they know, okay, they're legitimate, quote-unquote legitimate candidates. Independents, well, are they going to be legitimate or are they not legitimate? So we're going to put up roadblocks to them. So, for example, one friend of the program, our program, he's been on the show, Murray Sabourin, ran for governor in New Jersey as an independent, I believe it was 1997 he ran, 1997. They brutalized him, and then he got into the debates, and then the people in charge of the debates then play shenanigans. Well, do we get this person in the debates? And going on and on and on and on. It's very disconcerting. So here we have a story, and this was on MSN today, MSN.com, and new independent movement wants to deny both parties the House majority. So now, what they're doing is they want to deny the House, either party, a House majority. So they want to have more or less like they have in other countries, where they have a coalition running the show. So during focus group sessions in this bellwether state, this is Michigan, two groups of swing voters are asked to give an instant assessment of the two political parties, and basically very bad results for both. Right now, what they're trying to do, right, is two candidates, right? What's happening is people want to go and here over in Michigan and essentially create a third party to get a majority of voters, right? And guess what? Here we go. For three straight elections, the House majority has not topped 222 seats. Currently, House Republicans hold just 220. Picking 3 to 5 seats might be enough to block either party from the minimum needed for the majority. Okay, so strategic thinking. Brandon, who's a political strategist, Envision it has a small block of independents who can negotiate and determine which party gets the majority based on independent demands. We want a debt commission. We want to start studying the issue. We want to start backing this type of reform. So, not since 1990, when Senator Bernie Sanders won his first congressional race as a new candidate, won a House race as an independent, 140 years, either Democrats or Republicans emerged from elections with a clear House majority. Now, what are they looking for? They're looking for House races where preferably an incumbent is, and I'm reading into this a little bit, an incumbent is retiring, and where you have, it's moderate, right? So maybe they can get in on that, right? 435 races, maybe. But there are barriers. Financial, how are you going to get the fundraising? So what I always tell a candidate when candidates do come to me, well, how do I do this? One, how are you going to get on the ballot? If they don't have a strategy to get you on the ballot, don't do it. If you don't have a strategy to fundraise, don't do it. If you don't have a way to get out the vote, right now it's something like 800,000, rough number of 800,000 people you're going to represent. Where are you going to get, who are the voters? How do you target the voters? How do you plan on doing your strategy? When I did this, it was a small enough geographical area where we were able to go door to door. When we went door to door is where we got the most votes, basically, with that. So, now, who's going to, the other thing, what does every campaign need? A campaign needs not only a campaign manager, not only like a media person, he's going to be the same person, but also needs a treasurer. Treasurer has to be qualified to be doing stuff with political campaigns. So, for example, in New Jersey, there is a treasurer course you have to take, and you have to be certified treasurer. You have filings, so you need an accountant on your side. Hopefully you get a volunteer one that knows what they're doing. If not, they cost money. All this stuff costs money. Basically, you're looking at, I'll do a quick Google search here, but the last I checked it was like $2 million to win a congressional seat. To get a congressional seat, $10 million. $10 million. Why? Ad time, letters, social media consult. That's a big freaking operation. So the question is not where we, no, one is how, now can, should we run as an independent? One, are you going to be organized? Do you have a chance of winning? With me, it wasn't so much winning, but can I get my message out? Guess what? We got a message out. And if you recall, 2009, 2010 was the year of Tea Parties. And I tell you what, if it weren't for the Tea Parties, I'm going to say this once, I'll say it again, you would not have President Trump. Wouldn't do it, because it got people out of thinking, well, now we have to vote for the establishment person. I think that is what needs to happen here with the independent movement here with this. And let's not forget, you have the Libertarians, you have number three political party, you have a lot of other ones out there that have been doing this for a long time. My suggestion would be, is can you go into the Libertarian Party, who is already, that's already established in many states, that has ballot access a lot easier in many states, and you already have an infrastructure in many states to do that. On the left, I'm sure there's another party out there. That's what I would do, rather than an independent. You also have former politicians like Governor Christine Todd Whitman or Secretary Whitman, who also has the Forward Party going out there. Something along those lines would be, the, rather than reinventing the wheel, try to get into something that's already out there doing the thing, right? That's what I wanted to talk about tonight, right? Now, the other thing is this, right? There was a report here right, with these polls from one day ago. New polls show approval. This is from rating for Donald Trump is down across the U.S., right? Now, there was a story that came out this afternoon. All right, oh God. That Donald Trump has a 49.3% job approval rating or non-job approval rating, right? So here we have the average. Here you go, from right the Trump approval rating. This is from realclearpolling.com. The average is 45.9% approve, 50.2% disapprove. But then you go and you look at some of these. Rasmussen, 52 approve, 47 disapprove. Qantas Insights, that 48 and 48. RMG Research, 49 and 49. Trafalgar Insider Advantage, 46, 44. So what does this come down to? The Real Clear Politics average is 45.9 approve, 50.2 disapprove. What's my point here? My point is here. The polls have become the news. And what's the news? It's manipulating you. Always a manipulation game with things. And those soft skills manipulator things, unfortunately, those are the people who run the world. It's the people who manipulate. Get you to think. What I call on is for people to think for themselves. Another, I don't want to say friend of the fam of the program, but somebody who I've spoken to, Gerald Celente out of Kingston, New York, head of trends research. That's his motto, think for yourself. I've spoken to him already. Think for yourself for about a minute or two. I ran into him when my mother-in-law was living up there and father-in-law. But again, think for yourself. And with that, we'll get through this. For Safety Wars Hour 2, this is Jim Polzel, and I will catch you on the next Safety Wars Live. Okay.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.